practically, you can quit smoking, you can start an exercise program, you can start reading your Bible. You do it every day for 30 days, it'll become a habit for you. This attitude fast is something that if you do it, then it will become part of your life. And Cindy is here, right? Or did she go? Cindy, yes, you're there. I heard you had an Isaiah 58 experience this week. Is that true? You want to just stand up and give a quick shout about that? See, nothing gets past me. I hear these things. Amen. Amen. Cindy, good. Yeah, give her a round of applause. She spent the time to undo a heavy burden and to help the oppressed to go free and to break a yoke in somebody, very practically. It's not, you know, it's not, I was talking with someone yesterday, and God is just stirring up. They aren't sure about the Holy Spirit and His work in their lives, but they're going through this great traumatic experience. It's a real challenge in their life, and all of a sudden they have all this faith that God's going to get them through it. And I said, that is the way that God moves with the gift of faith. He stirs up within you. When everything is impossible around you, when you know that there's no logical reason for you to believe that God's going to do something, but there's a stirring inside of you that God is going to do something, it is not that scary. It is not that hard, and then God does it. So we're going to start. Let's just very quickly, I want to do a quick review and then get into wrapping up the sermon. So we're going to do a quick review. So Pastor Don is reading for me this morning. Give him a round of applause. And Isaiah 58, 6 through 12, brother.
Is this not the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke. Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out? When you see the naked, that you cover him, and not hide yourself from your own flesh. Then your light shall break forth like the morning, your healing shall spring forth speedily, and your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and he will say, Here I am. If you take away the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger and speaking wickedness, if you extend your soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then your light shall dawn in the darkness, and your darkness shall be as the noonday. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your soul in drought and strengthen your bones, and you shall be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. Those from among you shall build the old waste places. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations, and you shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to dwell in.
Isn't that cool? And just to review with you, he has called us in this Isaiah 58 fast to loosen the bonds of wickedness. And wickedness is any kind of sin. Say with me, wickedness is any kind of sin. And he's called me to loosen the bonds. Okay, good. He's called us to undo, which means to tear off of people heavy burdens. Those are the things that people carry from life, and especially their past. So we're to untie, tear off heavy burdens. Say, I'm going to tear off heavy burdens off of me and others. The good thing about your past is it's in the past, okay? I want you to leave it there. Let the oppressed go free. That's to help people to see that the devil is defeated. We are full of the Holy Spirit, and he reigns in us to crush and defeat the works of the enemy. So we need to understand that. You know, we are not a devil-worshipping church. Some churches are. Oh, the devil just did that to me. And the devil's like, yeah, give me praise. I think he does that too. You know. God has called us to let the oppressed go free. Say with me, God has called me to let the oppressed go free. You know, he's not sitting up in heaven saying, pray to me and I'll let the oppressed go free. He's saying, listen, I have given you the power to set the oppressed free. And then he says, break every yoke, helping people break free of the things that stop them from fulfilling their destiny. That's drugs, alcohol, food, pornography, criticism, gossip, being addicted to Facebook, lying, fear, jealousy, prejudice, racism, hurts, wounds. And it can go on and on and on and on. And God has called us to break every yoke. Okay? We are to scramble, so to speak, all the problems. Breaking every yoke. Scramble. You'll get that later. I don't think they put enough caffeine in the coffee. I think we got a problem this morning, Houston. And then we're also... We're also called to share our bread, our homes with the poor, to clothe the naked, to not hide ourselves from our own flesh, which is not only to do the practical side, not only when you see someone. I got to tell you, I had a very practical example of this yesterday. It's going to sound stupid to you, but it meant something to somebody else, okay? Yesterday was Customer Appreciation Day at Dairy Queen. And so it was half off. And to Paige, that means a small hot fudge sundae with peanuts. And she wanted one. And it was half off. So being up for a good deal, went to Dairy Queen. And we're standing in line in Dairy Queen, and there's this young girl, 13, 14 years old. She gets herself a Pepsi or something, and she had this cake. And she thought everything was half off, and so she had enough money, I guess, to buy the cake at half off. But the cakes weren't half off. It was just, you know, the treats or whatever they call them. And so she put the cake back, and she just went out of the store dejected. Now, I don't think it's like a major ministry that I'm called to do, but Paige and I bought her the cake and took it out to her and gave it to her mom, and they were scrounging in the car for cash, for anything they could do, because it was her aunt's birthday and her aunt is dying, and they didn't have the money, you know, to purchase it. And you know, I didn't know that. All we saw was that there is a situation here. Now, that's not a big deal, okay? It's a couple of bucks. But it meant the world to that person. That's right. And she doesn't know my name. She doesn't know Paige's name. She doesn't know we attend church here. All she knows is that God loves her and wanted to make sure that she had what she needed. And that's the way God works. God could have sent a cake from heaven, and he did, through us. Many of you are waiting for God to do something, you know, for you or for your neighbor or whatever, and God has called you. That's what this teaching is about. God has called you to loosen the bonds of wickedness. God has called you to let the oppressed go free. God has called you to bring life and to bring hope. We need to understand that first off, you know, that God has gifted us to do this. He has empowered us to do it. And he reveals our hearts when we do it or we don't do it. Listen, don't play Jesus. Don't play church. Okay? If you want to play church, go someplace else. Okay? There are plenty of churches that just want to play church. And that's not being critical. I'm just saying God has called us to change the world. And he has empowered you and gifted you to change the world. And that doesn't mean that you've got to go out and beat people over the head with the gospel. What that means is you've got to let Jesus live through you. And at that moment yesterday, the only reason I say, please, it's not to toot my own horn. The only reason I say that is what the Lord wanted, as stupid as it may sound, is for that little girl to get a cake, an ice cream cake. And I want to encourage you that some of the things that you need, some of the things that you want, that you think are stupid, that you think God will think is stupid, let me put it that way, but are important to you, you need to understand how much God loves you and how well he knows you. There are all kinds of silly things like that that God has supplied for Paige and I through the years. It's like, God, we didn't even need that. To me yesterday, I think I got blessed more by doing that than she got blessed in getting it. Because I was like, God, this is such a privilege to do something with no accolades. Just to do it because you said so. Here's how we begin. We need to understand this is part of our call. God's not asking us to ask him to make it happen. He is saying we have the power to make it happen. And then as we have compassion toward others, God will have compassion on us. And then if we do this, as I talked about the last couple weeks, God causes us to shine and have favor as we do. God will restore you in all that has been broken and wounded and stolen from you. Say with me, God's going to restore all. God will go ahead of you and give you favor with people and situations. God will protect your back and keep us moving forward and gather up all the stragglers in our lives to bring them into the kingdom. Isn't that cool? Now, if you're not sure about this stuff, because I'm kind of running through it, go back and listen to the other two. Thanks for Joyce for making sure they're up there, but you can go back and listen to the three sermons prior to this, and it'll give you more details. But that is only the beginning. So this morning, I want to focus in on Isaiah 58, 11, and 12, and the blessings of, once again, loosening the bonds of wickedness, untying the heavy burden, breaking off the yoke, letting the oppressed go free. So Pastor Don, Isaiah 58, 11, and 12 again, please.
The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your soul in drought and strengthen your bones. You should be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. Those from among you shall build the old waste places. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations. You should be called the repair of the breach, the restorer of streets to dwell in.
By the way, I feel like I should be up here going, Gratias agimus tibi propter magnum gloria. As I feel like a Catholic priest this morning with the black and the white on. Just Glenda pointed that out to me this morning. Like I looked up there and I said, who's this priest that's speaking this morning? It says, the Lord will guide you continually. Now, I need you to understand, when I'm preparing a sermon, a teaching, I go in and I do my research and I do my word studies and I read some other thoughts from history about what this stuff means. And as I researched this phrase, the Lord will guide you continually, I found this out. This is what it means. It means that God will continually guide you. It does. It just means that God promises to guide us always and in all things, but it adds to it, it has further emphasis to say that we will always be able to be at peace. So it's not just guiding, and because if we know that God is guiding us, if we know that God is leading us, if we know we're doing the right thing, then there is a peace that comes. I mean, life can be crazy all around us, but if we know we're doing it as unto the Lord, there's peace there. I know in my life, every time that God has given me a crazy idea, there's been a number of voices around me that have said, "No, that's not right. That's stupid. That'll never work." That was, you know, when we talk about Friday night services. We're going to do a Friday night service. "Oh, that'll never work in the Mon Valley. Nobody will ever come to a Friday night service in the Mon Valley." Well, there's over 100 people that come on Friday nights. "Facebook. We can't use Facebook here at the church. Nobody will use Facebook at the church. We're from the Mon Valley. We don't use Facebook." I've got another crazy idea that I'll be talking about in the next couple weeks to you. And I'm sure people say, "That'll never work." But you know what? And there's some things that don't work. There's some crazy ideas I have that don't work. But it's a point of, you know what, God? We're going to be about your business. Because there's voices, so to speak, this is going to sound crazy. There are voices in my head sometimes that say, "Don't share the gospel with that person. They'll never respond. Don't go over. You don't know that person. You're going to go over and ask them if you can pray for them? Are you nuts?" It's the same kind of voice. But when we're pressing into God, when we're spending time in the Word, when we're spending time in prayer, when we're spending time in fellowship with other believers, there's a growth that takes place, and there's a better hearing of God's voice so that we are guided continually. And when we act like Jesus, are we never going to make mistakes? You know what? When I come to that place, I'll let you know. I haven't made it there yet. But my heart is always right in wanting to do the right thing. And when I fail, the Word promises that though we fall, He will lift us up with His hand. It's relying a whole lot on His grace. But I would rather rely on His grace and make a mistake than never do anything for the kingdom and be afraid to do anything. It says, "And satisfy your soul in drought." How many times have you been up against it? How many times have you been weary and worn out from battle? How many times have you gone through dry places in your life? Any of you gone through a dry place in your life? Or am I the only one? I might be the only one here this morning. You go through these dry places and it's like, "God, what in the world's going on?" But He says, when you go through them, if you keep doing what I've asked you to do, if you keep loving people and loving God, if you keep loosening the bonds of wickedness, if you keep breaking every yoke, if you keep setting the captive free, then here's what I'll do. It says, He will satisfy you with times of refreshing. It doesn't say that we won't go through dry places or difficult places or hard places. He says, in those places, He will satisfy us with times of refreshing. Acts 3:19 tells us that as the disciples were sharing, as Peter was talking, he says, "Listen, here's the bottom line. Don't get religious. Don't get self-righteous. Choose to follow Jesus completely. And if you do, the Lord will pour out times of refreshing, which will include signs and wonders and miracles that you'll see." How does it happen? Once again, we struggle so much. We want Oh God, I need to see the words written on the screen. Well, there they are. Look at that. Satisfy your soul in times of drought. He'll satisfy you with a time of refreshing. God, I need the written in the sky. I need 12 donkeys to walk into the room and a camel behind them with a plate of gold, and then I'll know it's you. God, if you speak to me audibly so it shakes the house, I'll know what I need to do for you. And God says, listen, I have empowered you with my Holy Spirit, and I've given you a mandate. And that mandate is love God, love people, make disciples. And one of the ways you can fulfill that is simply by loosening the bonds of wickedness, undoing the heavy burdens, letting the oppressed go free, and breaking every yoke. You don't have to seek the Lord for some sign and some miracle. The signs and miracles should follow you as you're about the business of loosening the bonds of wickedness, tearing down every yoke, setting the captive free. We have the power to allow people to see Jesus in us by our reactions and our actions toward people. And guess who is most affected? The jerks in our lives are the most affected. Because the people that love us don't necessarily see the good things that we're doing, because, you know, if you light a candle in a room like this, it doesn't shine quite as brightly. But if you're surrounded by difficult people, if you're surrounded by jerks, if you're surrounded by people that don't like you, if you're surrounded by people that don't know the Lord, if you're surrounded by people that are mean and nasty, if you're surrounded by people, and that's just in your house. And it's all darkness, and you light a candle, that light really shines. Strengthen your bones. The Hebrew inference here is not to literally strengthen your bones, but a more modern translation would be to give you backbone. If we do these things, God will give us backbone. He says to make you strong, to defeat every enemy, to give you confidence in who you are and your calling as a man or woman of God. If you begin to do things, begin to act like Jesus in your neighborhood, begin to act like Jesus at your place of work, begin to act like Jesus in your home, begin to act like Jesus in your neighborhood, in your school, begin to act like Jesus wherever it is that you are, here's what God's going to do. He's going to give you a backbone. And then he is going to cause you to defeat the enemy and give you confidence everywhere you go. Folks, I would love to say that I have gained a certain amount of confidence by just merely walking with the Lord day by day. But what I've gained the most confidence from is every time I've won a battle, every time I've defeated the enemy, every time I have overcome in an area, every time I have overcome some kind of sin area in my life, every time that I have accomplished and I have defeated certain attitudes in my life, then it's like, okay, God, we did this, we can do that. Kind of like David saying, listen, I slew the lion and the bear, who is this Philistine? Folks, we need to win every day, and you have the power to win every day. Because greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. Shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. One of the blessings of leaving selfishness and fulfilling part of your call is that this word picture here of being a fragrant place full of life, this watered garden, a place of continual abundance, health, and prosperity. That's what God promises. A place where others can come for refreshing and your blessing will not fail. Isn't that great? See, some of you are wondering, you know, God, I'm called to do this. I'm called to do that. I've got this. And we're going to talk about that in a minute, about your call. But folks, I want to have a record deal. I want to be the CEO of my company. I want to do this. I want to do that. Well, here's what the Bible says about that. And you know, if you read your Bible, you'd know this. He who is faithful with little will be given much. When God gives you a big vision, when you have a call in your life that is amazing up here, what he's looking for is faithfulness down here. He's looking for faithfulness in the small things. He's looking for faithfulness. When we're looking for elders and deacons and people that we can trust in positions of authority, I'm looking for people to be faithful in their everyday life, in their everyday walk with God. I'm looking for people to not be beating their wives or their husbands. Looking for people to not be stealing, not be lying, not be gossiping. I'm looking for people on the positive side that just naturally love people and are laying down their lives for one another. I'm looking for people that unselfishly give of their time and their energy and their finances. Because you don't give stuff away that controls you. If it doesn't control you anymore, then you're free to give it away. If your time controls you, then you won't give it away. If your selfishness controls you, then you won't give away your energy or your love. If your finances control you, then you won't give them away. It's a battle. But he who's faithful, and all those visions, all those dreams that you have on your heart, all those things that are there, God has placed them there, and he wants to fulfill them, but they're only fulfilled as we're faithful with little. And that's all we're talking about over this last 4 weeks, is being faithful with little, loosening the bonds of wickedness, letting the oppressed go free, breaking every yoke. These are little things that we can do every day. Those from among you shall build the old waste places. I love this. This has to do with God bringing people back to restore a region that was desolate. How many of you know the Mon Valley has been made desolate? Western Pennsylvania, when the steel industry went out, was made desolate. I believe that God is going to restore again. And you know how that's going to happen? By you and I beginning to loosen the bonds of wickedness, setting the oppressed free, breaking every yoke, loving God, loving people. I believe that God wants to bless this region and bring the generations back that have left since there was no work. I believe the oil and gas industries are part of our answer to that prayer, but they're only part. I can see this region living again, bustling with people under 40 years of age. We are the second oldest community in the United States, second only to Florida. And that happened because when the mills went south, a lot of the jobs went out of here, and a lot of people left the area. When the mills went south, everybody on my road lost their job. I was supposed to be a seventh generation mill hunk, if you know what that is. But God, I believe, wants to restore this region. I believe that's why you're here this morning. I believe that's why God has put this fire in my belly. And this is cool too. You shall raise up the foundation of many generations. The very foundation of a strong society is the family, but more importantly, it is Jesus Christ. It is the gospel. It is the church. If we do these things that God wants, the church right now is seen as, we need to be seen as a people that truly love, that truly care, that truly want to impact our area. Like I said, the reason that people look at churches the way that they do is because they've closed in behind the walls, and it's only something that you do on Sunday morning rather than something that you live. Folks, the church is not this building. You are the church. What you do when you come here, when you first come here, is you come and we're a hospital, and we bring healing, and we bring encouragement, and we bind up your wounds and strengthen you. But if you've been longer than 18 months, then you need to be about the Father's business out there. This is now a college to you, where you're learning how to be effective out there to change hearts and lives. And as we get off of our selfishness and we begin to look at people, and that's what we're talking about today, is that God would open our eyes and open our ears and open our hearts to be able to see others rather than ourselves, our needs. Because here's the deal. This is what's funny. This is how we rip ourselves off so often. We want, we get caught up in our selfishness, and what happens is we rip ourselves off because Christ said, seek first my kingdom and my righteousness, and guess what? I'll take care of the wants. You take care of my business, and I will take care of the wants far more abundant and exceeding than you could hope or imagine. But you've got to get over your selfishness and say, God, listen, I'm going to take care of your business. I'm going to love people the way you want me to love them. I'm going to loosen the bonds of wickedness. I'm going to set the oppressed free. I'm going to bring life and hope to people. I'm going to lay down my racism, and I'm going to focus on breaking down those walls in others. I'm going to bring life and hope and encouragement. I'm not going to have any anger in my life or any lying or gossiping in my life. What I'm going to do is I'm going to focus on how can I help and bless other people, and what God's going to do for me is he's going to take care of that. It is so funny the way that God does that. It's so funny the way that God meets every need. I mean, just as a personal example, I drive an old car. My car is officially 16 years old. And I hope to get another 5 years out of it. And with an old car comes the need for a personal mechanic. I mean, there's things I can do on it, but there's a lot of things I don't have time to do anymore. But I've been ministering. I kept saying to my mechanic, will you guys please get saved? Because my car keeps breaking down, and I keep needing to come here and share the gospel with you. If you would get saved, then you wouldn't have to see me anymore. My car would probably run perfectly from this point on. And they have a good sense of humor, and they go along, and they respect me, and I pray for them all the time and things like that. And I had the opportunity to lead their father to the Lord about a week before he died. And that was pretty cool. And what's happened is, as a direct result of that, these guys treat me like royalty. They take care of me. Tim, you got a problem with your car? Bring it on in. Don't you guys got like 40 other people ahead of me? No problem. We're going to take care of you. You bring it in. We'll take care of you. It wasn't something expected, and I just use that as personal story because that's a little thing. It doesn't mean much in the big scope of the world, but it's important to me. And God works these things out. God takes care of us when we're about his business. Please pray for these guys. Their name's Jim and Mark. Pray for them to get saved so that I don't have to spend as much time at their garage as I do. You'll be called the repairer of the breach. The breach is a place where the enemy of a city has come through to destroy the city. Our actions remind people of God's great love and compassion. We bring healing and we stop the attack of the enemy in our culture. And as we bring healing, life, and freedom to people all around us, a breach is a place where the enemy has been able to come through. There are breaches in our culture that the enemy has been able to come through and overrun our nation, overrun our area. Corruption, lying. And it's a battle. But as we loosen the bonds of wickedness, as we untie the heavy burden, as we break every yoke, God fills in that hole where the enemy is able to come in, seals that breach. We become the repairer of the breach. And that corruption is no longer able to live. Oh, God, you don't know what's going on, what our president said, what Congress is doing, what our governor is doing, what the state representatives and senators are doing. Oh, God, and God's saying, what are you doing? Are you loosening the bonds of wickedness, setting the oppressed free? Are you making a difference? Folks, very quickly, we're also called the restorer of cities, of streets to dwell in. Through our love, our care, our compassion, our work, we build God walls so high around our children, the people around us, our cities, and the region, that people can again walk and live in peace. Scripture talks about when we pray for leadership, that God causes peace to come to us. When a ruler is righteous, God causes peace. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to take our culture back. We need to take our society back. We can't sit back and say, and it's not about, I'm not going to march on Washington, I'm not going to march on Harrisburg, I'm not going to, what I need to do is live my life every day like Jesus is really living in me and like he really cares about the people around me. And that it's not about me, it's about him. And guess what? He will take care of all my needs. He will take care of all that I have. Now, we can make this all happen. It's part of our call. Say with me, it's part of my call. In Matthew 22, verse 14, it says, for many are called, but few are chosen. That's an interesting verse. Because for the last 3 weeks, I've been talking to you about part of your call. And there is a big difference between being called and being chosen. Jesus tells a story in Matthew chapter 22 that he ended that verse with this way. He says, basically, there's a ruler who is having a wedding for his son. And he invites all the folks that would normally come. And the people go out and they invite them, and when they come, what happens is they end up, some of them just plain say no, others beat up the messengers, others actually kill the messengers, and so the ruler says, you know what? I'm not gonna take care of this. I'm gonna handle them. So the king cut them off and he says, go out and get others. I don't care who they are, just go out and get others. They are all called. And so when they went out and they were called, it's as if, it's kind of like when you're a little kid and you're on a playground and somebody has a kickball. And everybody on the playground wants to play kickball. Everybody's called. But then there's two captains chosen and a captain begins to say, you. And then when you say, yeah, that's me. When you lift your hand to say you're willing to go, that's when you're really chosen. Every person is called, but few are chosen because it takes a recognition on your part. Every person in this room is called to do what I've been sharing for the last 3 weeks, 4 weeks, this week included. But the question is, will you say, yes, I'm chosen? Because when you lift your hand and you surrender, then God says, I choose you. When we choose to do God's will, when we choose to respond to him, he chooses us. When we choose to treat people the way Jesus wants them treated, we're raising our hands and we're saying, yes, I'm chosen. When we choose to use our gifts of music or singing in worship, and we have worshipers here that are not chosen, you're called, but you're not chosen. It's time to say, okay, God, choose me. God has called you, but you need to be chosen. When we choose not to get angry and grow in Christ, that we choose to grow in Christ, and because we have been offended, we have raised our hands to follow Jesus, we're saying, yes, even though I've been offended, even though I have every right to be angry, I'm saying, God, I choose to follow you. I'm choosing you. I'm not going to go down my own way. I'm choosing to follow you. We look around us and see that there are people who are in need of mentoring. We see baby Christians or people that have gone through great hardship and they need mentoring. And we have been walking with the Lord for a while and we've been through what they're battling and what they're going through. And we recognize that and we say, God, I'll do something about it. Then we're chosen. Likewise, when we realize that we are in need of help, that we are looking for a mentor, and we're saying, we're chosen. Folks, like I mentioned earlier, if you have been in this church for 18 months, at 18 months, you see these little kids crawling around, see little Noah crawling around, see little Daniel, you know, I don't know how old he is now, it's about a year, but crawling around and they're exploring and they're starting to feel confident with who they are. That means they're ready to do stuff and you can't stop them. And spiritually, we need to do things to change our world. We see that there are people in need that are needed to help in the nursery, in children's church, to drive the van, to bring food to those home from the hospital or had loved ones just pass away. And we're raising our hands. We're saying we're chosen. You can hear all the kids up there. If you have kids, you're chosen. You need to be up there. When we see someone hurting, broken, or just simply in need, and we share the love of Jesus with them, and we've raised our hands and we said we're chosen. When we love enough to share the gospel with someone, then we've raised our hands and we said we're chosen. Many are called, few are chosen. My question to you this morning, what I'm going to ask you to do, is we're going to stand, if the worship team can come on up, we're going to stand and we're going to sing, and I'm going to ask you, because I'm finishing this series, you heard the whole story, I laid it out for you line upon line, precept upon precept, of our call as a man and woman of God. There are opportunities to be chosen, to be used right now, right here in this church, that will impact lives for eternity out there. There are opportunities out there that need to be chosen, that will affect lives for eternity, that we need to be doing. And God has called you. Say with me, God has called me. I'm asking you this morning to say, I'm chosen. So in a moment, oh, I'm sorry, I'm not even using the worship team here. We've got the video. Go ahead and roll that video. I'm sorry, guys. I forgot about that. Song called I Won't Relent. And as this song plays, you can bring down the volume just a little bit, Ron. It's about seeking God and not giving up until you meet him. And some of you this morning have been struggling with knowing what you're called to do. And for the last 4 weeks, I've been telling you what you're called to do. At the very basics. If you do these things, then the grand things that God has called you to do, you will accomplish. Let's stand. I'm going to ask you to do this. I'm going to ask you to not to have somebody come up and pray with you at the altar. I'm going to ask you to come to this altar and say, you know what, God? I'm saying I choose you. Perhaps you've been resting on your blessed assurance and haven't been doing anything for the kingdom. Listen, you're called to do something for the kingdom. There's not a person in this room that isn't called to do something for the kingdom. And the only way we're going to change lives, the only way we're going to impact this world, is to just do I'm not asking you to go out and save a million people. I'm asking you to just be Jesus' hands extended. To say, God, I will loosen the bonds of wickedness. I will set the oppressed free. God, anywhere that I see a yoke, I will break it. God, anywhere that I see a place where I'm needed, God, I'm going to do it. And God, I choose you. And what I'm asking you to do is you'll come to this altar so that the Lord is going to open your eyes, He's going to open your ears and open your heart to see the people around you that need ministry, to see the opportunities for you to serve in ministry, to serve in ministry in this ministry, to serve in ministry out there outside of this church complex. So I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to ask you to come. Nobody's going to pray for you. It's just a matter of your saying, God, I choose you. I choose you. Father, I believe I've delivered your word your way. And Lord, I don't have all the answers. But Lord, I know that if we start small, if we're just faithful, that you'll take us to this next step, next place. Father, help us to make the choice this morning to say we're laying down our selfishness, we're laying down our lives, and we're saying we choose you. We choose you. You've called us. Let us make the decision this morning to choose you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Come to the altar, please.
Yeah. Testing 1, 2. Thank you.